He is risen. Best news ever. If this is your first time with us, we do have a gift for you, an actual full-size book. But for everybody here, I believe we have at least one per family out in the free resources table right outside this door. He is risen. Just 10 reflections on this time of year that, if you're wondering what is Easter all about, will really help open up some of this. This season is filled with different things like flowers, bunnies, eggs, candy, and brightly colored clothes to try to drum up excitement about this day. I'll be honest, I don't buy it all. See, we have a deliverer who is raised from the dead. If you don't buy that, I can't sell it to you. There is supreme victory in him. Today we celebrate the miracle of Christ rising from the dead. For some of us, it was a miracle that we rose from the bed in time. But it's quite possible that as the younger woman at the well was singing, the lost, talking about the brokenness in this world, you identified with her, this woman that met Jesus at the well. She was in a place that was hopeless. Place that was described as dark, lonely. She was looking for something to satisfy her thirst, a craving deep inside her to fix something that is wrong in this world. She had been looking, in her case, in her relationships with men. But now, she finally found the one man that could satisfy all those needs. If you are here this morning, I'm guessing you know there's something wrong with this world. I mean, that's been the human condition since recorded history. There is nobody that disputes that there is something wrong with the world. The question simply is, how do we make it right? And that has been the question for the ages. This might be one of the two times a year that you step into a church, but you still know that there is something wrong with this world. We might not need to look too much past our own lives to see this. So throughout human history, we've been trying to fix what is wrong with us. We've tried anarchy, doing things our own way, which only led to chaos and destruction. We tried loose governments and strict governments, and we have found that even that was corruptible. We've tried advances in arts, technology, sciences. Yet all of these, in thousands of years and hundreds of generations of effort, have not been able to make things right. With this lady, Jesus identifies one symptom of brokenness and points her to the answer of it all. When Jesus points to her situation, remember when it got really awkward up here? He said, "Go call your husband." And she says, "I don't have one." He says, "Yeah, I know. You're broken just like everyone else. Here's where you're broken." Last Sunday, we talked about the wound on Sunday evening, that he kept on poking at that wound. And maybe you're here this morning and he's doing that for you as well. But she tries to push him away. Isn't that the way it is? You know there's something wrong with you. Newsflash, there's something wrong with me too. If you know what it is, don't come up to me later. I already know. But there's something wrong with all of us. But doesn't it still really hurt when somebody points it out to you? Even if they're right? And that's exactly what Jesus does to this woman. And we usually have one of two responses. We punch the person in the face or we run away, the fight or flight method. And she tries to push him away. She tries flight. She pushes him away and says, "Well, how about this doctrine of the temple?" And strangely enough, we think that this is a random thing, that she's just trying to divert his attention, but this is exactly where her attention needed to be, because it is in this worship, in this time that we spend together worshiping our God, that we find the cure for all the world's ills. See, up until this point, worship focused around one thing: sacrifice. Particularly the sacrifice of lambs. And that's what we're going to be talking about most of this morning afterwards. This was part of the system God put in place to fix what is wrong with this world, to cover over our sins. But it had one glaring flaw. It only lasted until the next time you needed a sacrifice. And then you'd have to sacrifice another lamb, and then another, and make another sacrifice. It was a constant evidence that death and decay were winning the fight in this world. That there was something wrong, desperately wrong. Each sacrifice, every lamb, was a pointer to the great lamb. The last lamb, the victorious lamb, the ultimate sacrifice made for us. And it starts all the way back in the book of Genesis. The first generation after Adam and Eve had to make a sacrifice, Cain and Abel. Abel had to make a sacrifice of a lamb. It says it was one of his flock. Not one of his herd, it was one of his flock. It was a sheep. Cain tried to give some fruits and veggies. Well, God's like me. He doesn't like fruits and veggies. He wants his meat. There was a lamb there. This was given as a covering over sin. We see that the lamb that is a sacrifice covers over sin. It doesn't replace us. It doesn't make it right. It simply covers it over. And then we fast forward a couple generations to Abraham. Remember the sheep that Abraham had to sacrifice? God told him, Abraham, go up to this mountain and sacrifice your son, your only son. And Abraham is about ready to do what we would think is completely insane and sacrifice his son that he had conceived. He had a son at 100 years old. And this was the one that God had promised him. And God's now telling him, sacrifice him. And he's about to do it, having faith that God can raise him from the dead. But as he's about to strike with that knife, God says, stop, stop. Look over there in that bush. As they were walking up the mountain, Abraham had told his son, when his son asked, Dad, we've got the wood, we've got the fire, but where's the sheep? Abraham had said to him, God will provide himself a lamb. And sure enough, there it is on the top of the mountain, stuck in a bush. God provided a lamb. That tells us that this lamb that will cover over all sin will be provided by God. And what about the Passover lamb? Go forward several generations, the entire nation who calls Abraham their father is now slaves in Egypt. And it is on the last of the 10 plagues, the horrible things that are going on, God says, here's how you're going to be delivered from death. You must take the blood of a pure lamb and you must put it on the lintels and doorposts, making the symbol of a cross. And the angel of death will pass over your house. Generations and centuries before Jesus would walk this earth, they were showing that the blood of a lamb would save us from death, cover over our sin, and it would be a lamb that was pure and spotless, a lamb that God would provide for himself. And then there is the sacrificial lamb that constantly in the temple was sacrificed every year at Yom Kippur. The day of atonement, the day of covering. This would be a lamb that would stand in our place because you would place your hand. And quite often, it would have been a sheep that you had known. There was a connection. And if nothing else, you had placed your hand on that sheep's head and looked it in the eye as it was about to take your place to cover over your sin. The sacrificial lamb every year. And then each one of those points to the great lamb, the victorious lamb, the last lamb, the lamb of God. Little did this woman know that as she was talking to this man, she is talking with a lamb who would take away the sins of the world. She's talking about, where do we sacrifice our proper lambs? He says to her, trust me. In John chapter 4, he says, the day will come when, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yes, the Father wants such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. He's saying there's going to come a day you don't need any more lambs because I will be it. I will be all that you need. I will remedy all that is wrong in this world. He's removing the sacrificial system. John the Baptizer had said of him, "Behold, the Lamb of God. Look, there he is, the one who will take away all the sins of the world." He's talking about Jesus. And Jesus is saying that their means to be made right with God, to rightly relate to him, are going to be done away with as soon as he made that sacrifice on Good Friday. He's saying you don't need those lambs anymore because the true lamb is here. He's saying that religiosity is not necessary anymore. Some of you are here today, one of two times that you will come into a church this year, because you think it makes you right with God. Let me make it very clear. You are not made right with God by anything that you think, say, or do. You're made wrong with God by everything you think, say, and do. But that Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, covers over. I am so glad you are here. But you're not going to grow in your relationship to God by showing up twice a year. That'd be like eating two meals a year. You're starving yourself. But that's besides the point. I'm not going to ride your tail all day, promise. But it is not religious ceremony. We don't do these things to be made right with God. We do these things because we have been made right with God as a result of what that lamb did. Out of gratitude and desire for growth and to become even closer to him. See, it's the Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, is greater than the lambs that would continually need to be sacrificed throughout one's life to make atonement for sin. What Jesus is saying here is, my sacrifice is complete. I don't need you to add anything to it. The purity I bring and impute to you is total. No penance. I am your Savior. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That lamb covered over everything you have done, are doing, or will do. Because he is that gracious. He is the last victorious risen lamb. Only one lamb, by the way, ever got back up off the altar. That was Jesus Christ. Every other lamb was consumed in the fire of humanity. Well, Jesus, he's consumed in the wrath of divinity, but he gets up off the altar after 3 days, showing he had defeated death. I don't care what victories you have in your past, you will never defeat death on your own. We all will face a day where we will have a certain defeat and be 6 feet under. However, Christ, after 3 days, came back. Only one sacrifice got back up off the altar. Revelations 5, if you wish to open there. This lamb is still the sacrifice of deliverance and ultimate victory. This book of Revelation deals with those things that are going to happen in the last days, those last moments before the ultimate victory comes. If you were to choose a symbol of victory and conquest, what would you choose? For some of us, it would be a simple trophy. Many kingdoms have chosen vicious animals, lions, wolves, eagles, dragons. Yet for some reason, God chose the image of a lamb. Did you ever consider this? In Revelation 5:5, they are searching for someone who is righteous enough to open up the seals of the scroll that are going to play out the victory story of God at the end of history. And no one can be found. There begins a lament until someone steps in. They actually begin weeping, but in verse 5 it says, "Then one of the elders said to me, 'Do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he is able to open the scroll and its 7 seals.' Then I saw one like a slaughtered lamb standing in the midst of the throne and the four living creatures, among the elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God into all the earth. The lion is the lamb. The lion of Judah is the lamb of God that takes away our sins. He was slaughtered for us, the final sacrifice and the only sacrifice for sin. Let me read that first verse again, because you might be reading it and think, oh, this is great because at that time he will have victory. Let me read this again. Do not weep. Look, the lion from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Christian, believer in Christ, that means we have the victory. Period. He has conquered. Devil just doesn't know it yet. He's not willing to give up so easily. The victory is already ours because of what Jesus did for us. If you need further proof, go check out that hole in the ground in Jerusalem. He has the victory. That is all the proof that we need, that he rose from the dead. He has shown that even death is toothless. Pain has an expiration date. No matter what you are going through, no matter what brokenness you are sensing this morning, there is healing and wholeness in that victorious Lamb. The resurrection Lamb is proof that the victory is ours. That's why Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 15, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where's your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power, but thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us victory. It is our victory over death. When we die, we don't fear it. We embrace it as a welcome friend because now we are ushered into the presence of our Lord and Savior. Death, where is your sting indeed? The Bible records Christ rose from the dead and will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. The resurrection secured our victory over death, as well as lifted us up from the grave into glory along with Christ, where we sit with him in the heavenly realms, it says in Ephesians 2:6. We are already given the victor's crown. All we need to do is walk up and take it. Now, sometimes it feels that victory is far from ours, doesn't it? Yeah, right, preacher. You're preaching a good story, but it doesn't feel true. I'm feeling defeated. I'm feeling that this world is dark and broken. You say victory is ours, why aren't we seeing more of it? It feels far from sure. Let me take you back 3 days on Friday. It seemed as though darkness had won. It seemed as though all hope had died. But on Sunday, that victory was made clear. I've already seen some posts online about it. I never get tired of listening to the Easter meditation by S.M. Lockridge. It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. If you haven't heard it yet, let me read it to you. I will try not to slip into a southern drawl, but man, when he preaches it, because he was a pastor in Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, but this man had a powerful voice that I wish I could just have him come, but unfortunately he passed 19 years ago. He says, it's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter is sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying, but they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns, but they don't know Sunday's coming. It's Friday. see Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, and his spirit burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning, and evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. Can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. It's Friday. But it's only Friday. Sunday is still coming. Someday you may think that the victory has been won. That the Lamb was not enough. Just remember, it might just be your Friday. Sunday is still coming. The Lamb, Jesus Christ, is enough. And he is victorious. It is Easter Sunday. And as per usual, our tradition is we take up an offering to spread this news of the victorious Lamb. It's called the Annie Armstrong offering. A woman that took it upon herself to make sure that missions here in America, which, by the way, we have the second largest unreached people group in the globe in our country, who have never heard about this hope of our resurrected King, who have never heard about the victorious Lamb. As we give this offering, ushers, you go ahead and come forward as soon as you're ready. As we give this offering, this is our way of spreading the news of this victorious Lamb. You are under no compulsion to give. I encourage you to give as you see fit. The Bible says that God loves a cheerful giver. We're not after your money. That's not what any of this is about. What we're after is souls hearing about the victorious Lamb. What we're about is the gospel reaching ears that have never heard. What we're about is sharing that this might be your Friday, but Sunday is still coming. Because that Lamb is victorious, and he is enough. Would you pray with me? Our God and Father, thank you that you are enough. Thank you for the promise of certain victory. Thank you that you did not stay in that grave, that unlike any other religion in this world, we serve a risen Savior. That, Lord, you have given us hope for the future. That you have given us peace and security. That even on our darkest days, even when hope seems entirely lost, Lord, you have promised we will never thirst again. That from our hearts will flow rivers of living water. That there will be boundless hope for eternity. Lord, we look forward today to the day in the future when the Lion and the Lamb who conquered death and sin finally completes his victory and brings in the eternal kingdom of peace and hope, of being right with you, of fixing all that is broken in this world. Lord, we sense it deep in our heart that this is not how it should be. Lord, would you this morning, I'm sure there are some here knowing that they are defeated, knowing that they have no hope. Lord, I pray that you would bring them to you, that they would find their hope in you. Lord, take this offering. Use it to reach the lost, that they can know of our resurrected King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.